And now, the rest of the story. Émile Gravelet was a French athlete who came to the United States to seek his fortune. But history books recall him by the name he chose for himself, the Great Blondin. One summer day in 1859, a crowd of New Yorkers gathered to watch the Great Blondin walk half a mile with another man on his back, a full-grown man. The other man's name was Harry Colcord, a Chicago native, the Great Blondin's personal manager, and there was much wagering among the onlookers as to whether this athlete could complete the feat. So he began this half-mile journey, as all journeys begin with the first step. Harry, riding piggyback, of course, had the easy job. 50 yards, 100 yards, the Great Blondin continued to walk, showing no signs of tiring, until about halfway when he faltered. Skeptical spectators nudged optimistic companions with a haughty "I told you so," but meanwhile the Great Blondin, panting, whispered hoarsely to his passenger, "You'll have to get off for a moment. I need to rest, and then we'll go on." But manager Colcord said nothing doing. All of those people had paid to see the Great Blondin walk half a mile with a man on his back, and that's exactly what they were going to see. And anyway, Harry was much too terrified to get off the Great Blondin's back. Positively terrified. And the reason is the rest of the story. For the million people, literally, actually more than a million, who had come to Manchester, New York, had assembled not merely to watch a man carry another man half a mile, but to watch him do it on a tightrope, hundreds of feet above the roaring rapids just below Niagara Falls. One slip meant certain death, and the Great Blondin felt himself slipping. Harry, still piggyback, remember, clung tenaciously to his bearer, refusing to get off and stand on that sagging rope even for an instant. Calmly, the Great Blondin explained it was either that or both men would be killed. So Harry, trembling, dismounted, and he stood on the tightrope, nothingness all around, gripping the Great Blondin's hips to steady himself. For century-like moments, the two men stood there. At last, the Frenchman had caught his breath. "You may get back on now," he told Harry, and Harry, with much effort and more trepidation, did. And the pair made it safely to the other side that day, while a million onlookers cheered for what seemed like hours. And so began the Great Blondin's career as the tightrope walker of Niagara Falls. There would be many subsequent walks without passengers, but even more daring ones, trips during which the French daredevil would carry a chair to the halfway point and sit down on the chair, or do a headstand, or dance a jig. He once made his Niagara tightrope crossing at night, another time blindfolded, another time with his hands and his legs shackled, and another time, are you ready for this, on stilts. Yet another time he carried a small coal stove to the middle of the rope and balanced that, and on it prepared a full meal. The enormous crowds that showed up for these adventures were tantalized by the assumption that one day the Great Blondin would fall to his death, and perhaps they would be there to see it. But he never did. Émile Gravelet, alias the Great Blondin, died peacefully in bed at the age of 71. No, there was only one casualty in his remarkable career at Niagara Falls, and that was his manager, Harry Colcord. It was Harry, you see, who went along for the piggyback ride in 1859, but whose terror on that occasion was such, whose sheer terror was such that promptly thereafter he lost his mind and never recovered. And now you know the rest of the story.